Is Easter Sunday. That's one of the days of the year that a lot of people go to church that don't think about church much any other time. So let's avail ourselves and try to get everybody that we can to come and be a part of us. All right? Amen. Amen. And so let's look forward to a great day. It's going to be a great day. And we're looking forward to a good time in the Lord. Amen. It's good to have Mike McGrail with us tonight. We're glad to see you, sir. Appreciate you being here. You're welcome. Amen. All right. Let's turn to the word of the Lord, shall we? To the book of John, chapter 15, verse 5 through 7. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. I want to, for the next few moments tonight, talk about some essential things. Some essential things. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. How many remember returnable bottles? Remember, you used to get a deposit. Anybody remember hunting bottles? Wasn't that fun? You know, if you needed something and you couldn't get any money out of mom and dad, if you could hunt around and scrounge up a few bottles, you could usually get a candy bar or another Coke and a bag of peanuts or something. And those were good times. You could find these returnable bottles. And sometimes you'd get one of those big ones. Boy, they were really worth a lot. I think they were worth a nickel maybe. I mean, that was big time stuff. And returnable bottles. Amen. And fix-it shops where you actually took stuff and got it fixed instead of throwing it away and getting another one. Amen. And even a place where you got shoes fixed. Isn't that amazing? They used to fix things. Now everything just about is throwaway. Because it's cheaper to throw it away than it is to try to fix it. You don't find hardly anybody that knows how to fix it. So we are living in a time of dispensable things. Throwaway stuff. Bottles and boxes and cans and tires and machinery and buildings and relationships and even religions. We're in a throwaway society. If you get tired of it, you just throw it away and get another one. Amen. I heard of one church, they said, you know, preacher, said, you know, we kind of feel like around here about pastors, kind of like a lot of people do records. You know, you get tired of hearing a record, you just go get you another one. Said, we get tired of a preacher, we just go get us another one. Amen. And there are some things that are not dispensable in life. There are some things that are essential in life. There are some things that really you Christians cannot do without. Amen. One of those things the Bible said that is indispensable is the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 said, without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Amen. There's one thing you cannot as a Christian do without, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. God chose the shedding of blood that would wash away sin stains. It wasn't a man's plan. It was God's plan. It was God's idea. While God was still a spirit and had no blood to offer, he said that there would have to be the shedding of blood. God set up the system of sacrifice that we have been talking about in our services or in our Sunday school class for the last several Sundays. The blood sacrifices that the priest offered were continual. They brought them every morning and every evening was a sacrifice. And you read in the day that the temple was dedicated, there was something like 120,000 sheep that were sacrificed, and 22,000 bullocks were sacrificed. Hey folks, that's a lot of carcasses. That's a lot of animals. That's a lot of blood. And that was just on one occasion. Amen. And so there was the shedding of sacrifices, shedding of blood, giving of life, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And all of that was going somewhere. But the mountains of animal carcasses and the rivers of animal blood could never wash away one sin. But they were rolling somewhere. They were pointing somewhere. They were trying to get us somewhere. Amen. It wasn't until John stood and saw Jesus and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away." He doesn't just roll it ahead. He takes it away. Hallelujah. He removes it. He remits it. He blots it out until it doesn't exist in the record of God anymore. Amen. Praise God. And so that's why we need the blood. Continually the priest offered sacrifices. But the scripture said Christ was once. Everybody say once. Was once offered to bear the sins of many. Hallelujah. It was that one sacrifice, Jesus Christ, that could wash away our sins. Thank God for the blood. We sing it and we believe it. Amen. It's not possible tonight to rid yourself of sin without the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. God chose that blood would wash away our sins. Hallelujah. Amen. When we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that blood is applied to our lives. Amen. And all God sees is the blood. He doesn't see our sins anymore. Amen. Brother Pugh was praying one time about a sin, and he felt so condemned and so guilty. And the Lord stopped him. He said, "JT, what are you talking about?" He said, "You remember, Lord, such and such sin." And God said, "Did you ask me to forgive you for that?" He said, "Yes, I did." The Lord said, "Well, then I forgave you, and I don't want to hear it about it anymore." Hallelujah. When God forgives, God forgives. Amen. He's not like people. You know, people say they forgive and then keep dragging it up. But God's not like that. Amen. The Bible said if we confess our sin, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do. He delights in dealing with sin and blotting out our transgressions. Amen. The blood, friend, is indispensable. It is absolutely essential. Amen. One thing I like about the blood is, you know, the old preacher said that God took our sins and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, and He nailed up a sign that said, "No fishing." But every now and then the devil goes fishing in the sea. And our conscience goes fishing in the sea. And we'll dredge some things up. And we'll start remembering some things. And we'll start feeling a little bit guilty about something. But let me tell you what to do about that. Instead of getting down and discouraged and looking at your failure, look away from yourself and look to Jesus Christ and begin to say, "Thank God for the blood, because it's all under the blood, and it's all been forgiven, and all of my sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, the blood is indispensable. It's not something you can take or leave or take. It's something that is absolutely essential to salvation. There are certain churches that don't like to talk about the blood. There are some churches that have gotten so modern, they've removed the blood from their song books, and they certainly don't preach about it in their sermons. But let me tell you something. There's one thing the devil hates. It's the blood. If there's something the devil fears, it's the blood. Hallelujah. Because the blood still cleanses from our sin and sets us free. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. So friend, you got to have faith, not just faith, but you got to have faith in God. Everybody has faith. I said everybody has faith. Most of you, at least tonight, when you got in your automobile and hit that starter, you expected it to start. If you didn't expect that, I've had a car like that too. You just wasn't real sure what was going to happen. You just kind of had hope, not faith. Amen. But thank God, right now at least, I've got a car, and when I hit the key, I expect it to start. I have faith that it's going to start. I have faith that when I hit the light switch, that the lights are going to come on because I paid my bill. And to have faith that that's going to happen. You see, we can have faith in a lot of things, but you got to have faith in God. We cannot be saved without faith in God. Hallelujah. The greatest thing that you can have faith in is God. Amen. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times I flipped on the light switch and I didn't have any light. Sometimes a breaker was thrown. Sometimes the bulb was burned out. There's all kinds of reasons the light doesn't come on. But you know what? God is not one time letting me down. There's been a few times I hit the starter and nothing happened. The car just, nothing happened. It just didn't even make a sound. Amen. But I tell you what, I've never called on the Lord, amen, that I didn't get a response. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because he never fails. He's faithful. He's always there. And there's not anything that he cannot do. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everything about God we understand by faith. I know people, they say, well, they don't believe anything they can't understand scientifically. Well, amen. Well, I don't know about that. There's a whole lot of stuff I don't understand. I just enjoy. I don't understand electricity, but I know it's real. Not only have I seen it, but I've felt it a few times. And if you don't believe in it, I can make a believer out of you real quick. Amen. Praise. Hey, and if you'll give me a chance, I can get you to believe in God just about as quick. Amen. He's just as tangible. I don't know about you, but I know how to touch him. And I know when he touches me, and there's a feeling that's involved in it. It's not all faith, friend, but it takes faith before you get the feeling. Let me tell you something. One of the greatest mistakes you can make in your Christianity is to follow your feelings. Feelings go up and down like a roller coaster. Amen. Don't follow your feelings. Follow your faith. Amen. And guess what? If you'll follow your faith in God, it won't be too long before your feelings will be there. I don't know about you, if you've ever done this, but I've come to prayer meetings and I didn't feel a thing. Amen. But you know what? I kept calling out in faith. Hallelujah. And instead of moaning about my testings, is that what testimonies are? Hope not. Amen. But I forgot all about, didn't worry about not what I wasn't feeling, didn't worry about what I didn't have, didn't even worry about how I felt. I just started giving Him thanks. Just started giving Him praise. God, You're so good to me. Thank You for my health today. Thank You for the truth today. Thank You for preachers You put in my life, God. Thank You for good parents, God. I began to just thank Him and enumerate the blessings of God, and it wasn't very long until the feeling was there. Amen. Hey, folks, you got to have faith in God. Faith is indispensable. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You can have faith in God and you can have faith in His Word. Amen. This ball that you live on, we call earth, you know what made this? The Word of God. The sun that is in the heavens that you see, you know what made that sun? The Word of God. Do you know what it consists of? The Word of God. You know how the grass got in the field? The Word of God. You know how the plants grow? The Word of God. You know why the animals exist? The Word of God. You know why you exist? The Word of God. Amen. His Word, friend, is everything. It's indispensable, and you can believe His Word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. The Bible said when Jesus comes back again, He's going to fight in that last battle. You know what He's going to fight with? Amen. The Bible said out of His mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. And Hebrews tells us the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. It's the Word of God that He's going to fight with. You talk about power. There's a Word of God. He can create with His Word and He can destroy with His Word. He can heal with His Word and He can kill with His Word. God's Word is the most powerful thing that exists. Amen. There's nothing like the Word of God. You can believe it. You can stand on it. It's going to be there. It's not going to ever let you down. It's indispensable. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But the Bible said that faith without works is dead. Amen. You know why? Faith calls for response. Faith calls for response. So if you are not responding to faith, then faith is not accomplishing anything. James said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. He said, faith is dead being alone. Amen. Let me show you something here. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we have what we call the faith chapter. This book is all about faith. It's powerful in faith. Amen. But let me just read a little bit of it. It says, by faith, Abel offered. You see, he did something. He had faith, but he did something about his faith. He offered a more acceptable sacrifice than his brother Cain. By faith, Enoch walked with God and was translated. Enoch did something. He didn't just sit around and twiddle his fingers, saying, I got faith, got faith, got faith, got faith. He did something. Amen. You see, faith inspires action. The Bible said, by faith Noah, warned of God, prepared an ark. His faith caused him to do something. He didn't just sit down and say, well, you know, God's able to keep me out of this flood. Sure He is. Amen. It's like the fellow heard about. Flood came. Sitting on top of his house. A boat comes by and said, hey, said, fellow, you better get in. Said, this water's rising. Won't be long. It's going to be over the top of his house. He said, that's all right. God's going to take care of me. A little while later, another boat came by. Water was way up. By now, he's standing on just on the top of the ridge of the house. And the boat says, "Son, this is the last boat that's coming by here. You better get in." He said, "That's all right. I don't need your boat. God's going to take care of me." A little while, he was standing on the chimney, and a helicopter came by and dropped down with a megaphone. The guy said, "Sir, climb up this ladder. We'll haul you to safety." He said, "Thanks a lot, but God will take care of me." The water rose and washed him away. First thing he asked the Lord when he got to heaven was, "God, you let me down. Why didn't you save me from the flood?" He said, "I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What else did you want?" Amen. You see, faith has to have some action. Faith has to have some obedience. Faith has to seize its opportunity. Amen. Praise God. So you see, faith is great, but faith without works is dead. You got to act on your faith. Amen. Praise God. People say, "Well, you know, we're saved by grace." That's true. Amen. You're also saved by faith. Amen. But there's some things that we do. Amen. You see, if somebody, you know, I'm in a burning house and there's an escape outside and there's a way out and I just sit there saying, "Well, God's going to rescue me. I don't have to go down the fire escape. No sense in me putting forth all that effort and burning up all that energy." Well, you'll just burn up. Amen. There's a way out. But you've got to obey that. God has a plan of salvation. And I've heard people say, "Well, you know, baptism is works." I beg to differ. It's not works, it's obedience. The Bible said, "Be baptized." It was not a suggestion. It was a commandment. Be baptized. Amen. It was never something that was suggested. It was never something that was optional. Amen. It's not works. We're not going to be saved by works, but we're saved by obedience. Amen. The Bible said, "Repent." Amen. That's not works. That's obedience, because the Bible said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." You see, but all of those things, those are not works. Friend, those are obedience. You're obeying what God said, and God does what He promised. Amen. Amen. And then the Bible says, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Do we still believe that? Amen. That's still the truth, isn't it? Amen. What in the world is holiness? The word holiness means separation or set apart. Set apart. There are some things that Christians don't do because they're set apart. There are places that Christians don't go because we're set apart. There are things that Christians don't say because we're set apart. The Bible said, I am holy, be ye holy. God is set apart from this world. God is set apart from all unrighteousness and all sin. And He wants us to be separated from all unrighteousness and all sin. We're set apart because of Him. The word church means called out ones. Amen. Jesus called us out of the world. He called us out of an old sinful lifestyle. Amen. Praise God. And so holiness is biblical, and holiness is something that God demands of us and expects of us. Amen. It's not an optional thing according to the Scriptures. Amen. We are separated unto the Lord. Separation's a good thing, folks. I said it's a good thing. I like being separated. I've been to the prison a few times and preached there. I like being separated. Because when I got ready to go, I just walked right on out. And that was a good feeling. It wasn't a good feeling being there knowing I'm a resident. Amen. I was glad I could walk on out of there. I've walked into the hospital and prayed for folks. I was glad I was not a part of the hospital. I have been a part of that community, but I was glad I wasn't at that time and I could walk out of there. Amen. You see, separation's a good thing. You don't want to be a part of everything. It's a good thing that God separated us from this world. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God forgave my sins. I'm glad that God delivered me from ungodly habits and an ungodly lifestyle. I'm glad that He gave me a new spirit. I'm glad that He gave me a new mind. I'm glad that He gave me peace and joy and righteousness. I'm happy about that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My nephew had a little pet, and it was a pig, and he kept it in his house of all places. But he kept him clean. He'd scrub him real good and give him a bath and put perfume on him and tie ribbons on his ears and call him Fido. You know, he had him all fixed up. He was a nice clean pig. But you know what happened when Fido got outside? Huh? Fido ran for the stinkiest, filthiest place he could find, and he'd dive in snout first, ribbons and all, and sling slop and mud and filth every direction, because Fido was a pig. He was in hog heaven. He was enjoying himself, because that's what pigs do. Amen. You can change his outside, but you don't change his inside. Amen. You know what? We used to enjoy sin. There was a time that we enjoyed sin, but something happened to us. Amen. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And Paul said, the things I used to love, now I hate. And the things I used to hate, now I love. I've heard people say, well, I can't go to church. Why, the walls would fall in on me if I were to do something like that. Let me tell you something. God gives you a new nature, and God gives you a new heart. And when He does that, the things you used to hate, now you love. And the things you used to love, now you hate. Amen. People used to tell me, and people still say, church is boring. Amen. It's not boring to me, friend. Hallelujah. I enjoy my time with the Lord. Hallelujah. I enjoy my time with you. Amen. You see, I used to love some things I don't like anymore. God has a way of changing a nature, changing a heart, giving us the mind of Christ. Amen. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And then there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 12 that says, are you ready for this? Without chastisement or correction, we're not sons of God. You listening to me? There are people that you work with and go to school with and live with and live around that seemingly get away with things that you can't get away with. There are people, they can say what they want to say, but you better not say what you want to say. They can talk any old way they want to talk, but you can't get away with that. Amen. They can gossip, but you better not. They can murmur and complain, but you better not. See, God holds you to a higher standard. You know why? Because you're His child. God doesn't correct the devil's children, but He'll correct His own. That's what the Bible said. Amen. It says that if you're a child of God, you're going to receive chastisement when you do wrong. Anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? Amen. You see, when the child of God does something wrong, the first thing happens, he gets convicted. His peace is disturbed. He feels miserable. He's unhappy. Lost his joy. because he knows he's done something that he shouldn't do. And it doesn't matter how many people tell you it's all right, you know it's not all right. People saying, well, we can do that. We can get... No, you know when you've done wrong. The Holy Ghost tells you when you're wrong. You don't have to have your preacher to tell you when you're wrong. The Holy Ghost will tell you when you're wrong. Conviction comes and lets you know, you can't do that. Well, so-and-so does. Might tell you whose kid he is. And when you get to getting away with things you used to couldn't get away with, the Bible says it's possible to sear the conscience. Amen. You know what happens when you sear something? It destroys the feelings in it. And it becomes numb. Can't feel anymore. It's a dangerous thing to resist the Holy Ghost. It's a dangerous thing to reject the Holy Ghost. Because it's a searing action that takes place. And you might not feel bad about what you used to feel bad about. Amen. We got a lot of folks telling us that used to be a part of us that we just don't have to do that. You don't have to live like that. Amen. You don't have to live under all that legalism. You know what? It's not the church telling me. It's not the United Pentecostal Church manual telling me. It's not the preacher telling me. It's the Holy Ghost telling me. And when the Holy Ghost speaks to me and the Holy Ghost convicts me, I better listen. Amen. Let me tell you, friend, chastisement's important in your life. God convicts us. God corrects us. Amen. Now, let me tell you, God does not nag people. The devil does that. He's always nagging. Nya, 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 nya. God does it differently. Amen. I remember an old prophet walked into a king sitting on the throne. Told him a little story, just a simple story about a shepherd that just had one sheep and a rich man that came and stole that one sheep. And of course the king used to be a shepherd. So the king stood up, he was indignant, and he said, "Who is that man? How demand that he make restitution here?" And the old prophet just put his finger right in David's face and said, "Thou art the man." God didn't beat around the bush. And David jumped off of the throne and hit his knees and began to beg God for mercy. Amen. Aren't you thankful that the Lord can still talk to us? I'm so thankful for God's correction. David lived a while. He went several months. Brother Hart talked about 9 months when he preached about it the other night. David did some horrible things, folks. David allowed his heart to get hard. And it was a terrible thing. But thank God for conviction. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for correction and chastisement. Thank God that there comes a time he can talk to us. He can correct us and get us back in the right way. Amen. God not only convicts and corrects, but God restores. Hallelujah. Everybody said he restores. Everybody said he restores. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. My, my, my. And we're almost through here. Another thing that's indispensable is love. A Christian cannot live the Christian life without love. Now, I'm not talking about worldly lust. And I'm not talking about passion that changes every time a little fire goes out or something better passes by. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about the love of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. I'm talking about agape love. I'm talking about the God kind of love. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul said this. He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." You can talk in tongues from the time the sun goes up until the sun goes down. That doesn't make you spiritual, and it doesn't make you saved. Amen. The Bible said without love, it's nothing. It's just like a cymbal that's just got one sound. And after a while, it gets kind of annoying. Amen. Praise God. Some people, their spiritual gifts kind of annoy me because it's not about spiritual gifts. It's about them. It's about me. I have this. I have that. I have something else. Amen. Anytime it gets to be about you, it's all wrong. It's got to be about Him. Love's always the proper motive, you see. And without the right motive, tongues have no meaning. Amen. And then he said, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. Amen. No matter how, you may be a miracle man and you can do a miracle money a minute or give people their money back. But if you don't have faith, if you don't have love, he said, you're nothing. You're nothing but a person that is all in it for themselves. And we see just way too much of that. Amen. There's way too much of that. But when it's love, you see, that's the proper motive for prophecy. That's the proper motive of knowledge. That's the proper motive of faith. And then he said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, profiteth me nothing. You know, you can be very generous and give a lot for the wrong motive. There are people just that give just to get their name on a plaque. Or their name on a building. Or their name on a street sign. Or their name on something. They have the wrong motive. They're not given for the right reason. Amen. But he said, if you have love, that's the right motive. It causes you to give for the right reason. Amen. And so we have to have love tonight, folks. It's essential. It's not something that we can give or take. It's absolutely necessary. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And you remember what he said? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all of thy strength. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. Hey folks, I'm telling you tonight, there's some things you can't do without as a Christian, and love is one of them. James said, or John rather, put it kind of strongly. He said, if you say you love God, whom you have not seen, and hate your brother, whom you have seen, he said, you're a liar. Don't tell me you can love God and hate your brother. Don't tell me you can love God and hate your sister. You cannot do it. Amen. Praise God. The Bible said, for the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And it causes us to love like Jesus loved. Amen. Praise God. I've said it before. I'll say it again. There's some people that I love that I don't necessarily like. Amen. Some of you are frowning on that one, but it's truth anyhow. Amen. I just don't like the way some people do stuff. I just don't like the things some people do. You see, there's just things. And if you're a parent, you've experienced that. There are some things that your children do. You love your child, but you sure don't like some of the stuff they do. Huh? Anybody ever experienced that? If you haven't, hang on, you will. Amen. Praise God. That little darling's not perfect. Praise God. If you haven't been disappointed yet, you're going to be. Isn't that good positive preaching? Amen. Because that's the truth, brother. Hallelujah. But love them anyhow. Amen. Hey, we can't live the Christian life without love. And you can't live the Christian life without Jesus Christ. You cannot live the Christian life without Jesus. We read it in the beginning. He said, I am the vine. That means he's the trunk that's attached to the roots that go down into the earth and draw out the nourishment and draw them up through the trunk. And then it feeds the branches. And it goes out and it feeds the leaves. And it feeds the fruit and makes it produce. He said, I am the vine. I am the trunk. Amen. I'm what brings life into this whole process. And he said it very strongly. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Amen. You just see how much fruit something produces once it's cut off the trunk. Once you cut off a branch, it doesn't produce anything. Its days of producing are over. But he said, abide in me and I abide in you. He said, you'll bring forth much fruit. Amen. Praise God. Without him, folks, we just can't do anything. But Paul said it so wonderfully, did he not? He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen. He said, I'm plugged in. Amen. That's where it's all coming from. It's not Paul. It's Jesus in Paul. Amen. Hallelujah. And without him, we cannot do it. But with his help, we can do all things. Would you stand with me tonight? There are some things you just can't do without. I read somewhere, it's very true, it said it's hell without Jesus. And that's right. Both on this earth and in the world to come. You got to have him, folks. He's not something that's optional. He's absolutely essential. Amen. He's the very center of everything that we do around here. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. When Jesus is in the house, any good thing can happen. But if he's not present, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter how good the songs are and the music is. If Jesus is not here, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good the preacher may be. If Jesus is not in the house, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how beautiful the building is and how perfect the atmosphere. If Jesus is not in the house, it just doesn't matter. A songwriter said, Jesus will be what makes it heaven for me. Amen. And that's what's going to make it heaven, folks. Amen. It's essential that he's there. The Bible says that Jesus is the light of the city. Without him, there's no light. Jesus said, I am life. Without him, there's no life. Amen. Jesus said, God is love. God is love. Without him, there is no love. I don't want to go to a place where there's no life, no light, and no love. And he's all of that. You know what hell's going to be? It's simply separation from Jesus Christ. That's all. It's just being separated from him. Because he's everything that's positive, and he's everything that's good. And to be separated from him is just to be separated from everything that's essential, everything that's necessary, everything that's positive, and everything that's good. Amen. It's just that simple tonight. I don't know about you. Amen. But I need Jesus. Oh, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need him when the sun shines. I need him when the storm clouds roll. Every day and every way, I need Jesus. Oh, I need
Jesus.
I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need him when the sun shines. I need him when the storm clouds roll. Every day and every way, I need Jesus. Oh, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need him when the sun shines. I need him when the storm clouds blow. Every day and every way, I need Jesus. Oh, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need him when the sun shines. I need him when the storm clouds roll. Every day and every way, I need Jesus. Amen. How anybody need Jesus tonight? Anybody know that you need Jesus tonight? Amen. If you don't know him, he is glad. He'd be glad to introduce himself tonight. I don't want to dismiss this service without an opportunity. If somebody wants to come and pray and know the Lord tonight in a brand new way, amen. This is a good place. This is a good time. Amen. There's a good spirit here. Amen. And Jesus will meet you at this altar. Amen. He'll never turn you away. Amen. He'll come into your heart and your life with peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing it one more time, shall we? Oh.